So I've been trying to be a bit more of an active blogger this year, and in other words, trying to blog every weekday. But I'm kind of out and about at the moment today, and thought I'd just leave this message. And yeah, I don't know. Here's the deal. I preached at church the other day, and I actually was talking about this on my blog the other day. So maybe you've already kind of heard it, but I added in a little more that I actually think gives it a lot more depth that I really enjoy. So if you feel like sticking around to listen, here's basically the deal. There's a cycle in Judges. First, you got to remember that Israel has moved into the promised land in Judges, and it's a pretty big deal because they're led into the promised land by a tangible God. I mean, he's done signs and wonders for them. On top of that, he's also made himself very real just by, like, you know, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire to lead them through the desert, things like this. I mean, it's tangible. It's a real God. And now they're in the promised land, and they go to their chief sin, which is idolatry, right? I mean, of all the sins you're going to commit, you're going to turn your back on the tangible God, the one who was a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud. I mean, you visibly saw that rain manna from heaven, that God. You're going to turn your back on that for little wooden fake statues and call those your gods? I mean, it's pretty ridiculous, but then at the same time, if you think about it, we do the same thing, don't we? I mean, worship is the condition of acknowledging worth of something, and we worship things all the time, if that's how we're going to define it. I mean, we can pretty much do it with anything. Money, fame, big house, success, work, raise, degree, technology, lust, TV, movies, internet, social networking, video games, drugs, alcohol, sex, food, pretty much anything. And we end up doing. Sorry, what was that? Yeah. And so more or less, that's basically how that ends up. This is the one problem with using phone. People start talking to you. So we replace our tangible God with temporary inanimate objects, nonetheless. Give ourselves to every rock and every tree. So that's basically how it goes. But what we usually find is that we'll find ourselves in captivity. The next part of the cycle goes from sin into captivity. The verse will usually say the Lord delivered them over to a certain place, and they served there for a number of years. Now, we ask the question, why did God hand his people over? You know, out of all the people that you would hand over, why would you hand over your own people, the people you promised land? Why not hand, if anything, your enemies into your hands, you know? But if you think about it, we kind of hand ourselves over when we become captivated by something, when we become truly captured by something. I mean, they become our captors. That's why we have workaholics, internet junkies, drug addictions, gluttony, sex addicts, successfully empty people. You know, you hear stories all the time of people who, like, won the lottery, and you'd think that'd be amazing, but they always feel empty by the end of it, usually. It's almost as though God's saying, if you want to give yourself something other than me, I'll let you do it. And that's the thing. We become captivated by things to the point that we're captured by them. But then we come to the next part of the cycle, which is repentance. And here's basically how this goes. When God finally lets us go to our captors, we find oppression and we find suffering. And then we find ourselves in a place that we can actually repent. You know, we're in a place where we're feeling all this pain, all this emotion from our past, and we just get there, and it's like, okay, well, we got to get out of this. I don't want to be here anymore. I can actually feel the pain, actually feel the suffering. God's allowed me into the things that I've let capture me, and now I'm just kind of stuck there. And we do this all the time, right? I mean, when we finally get there, we know our mistake. We finally feel the pain to make a change. And on top of that, we finally want to change, even if it's really hard to do that. So you just see this verse, like they cried to the Lord. You know, they need his help finally because they've been given away to their captors. Now, the next verse is usually the Spirit of the Lord comes upon or the Lord raised a judge. This is the next part of the cycle. So far, we've got sin, we've got captivity, we've got repentance, and then we've got God raising a judge. Now, the judge usually brings a military victory into the land. On top of that, the land has rest, you know? It's like they actually find that God is able to save his people, but it's usually because he sends in a judge. He sends someone to get the job done. And again, they bring military victory, and the land has rest. Now, this is all actually a very, very old story. It's like as old as time itself. Seriously, like, we're looking at Judges right now, but if you zoom out and take a look at the whole Bible, you see this cycle in it. It's like many cycles within a giant cycle. Here's basically the deal. Right now, we're focused on Judges, but if you zoom out, sorry, it's very cold outside. I'm trying to breathe heavily. You actually see this as the main narrative of the Bible. The sin, first part of the cycle. We ate the apple, right? We gave ourselves over to something other than God. And second part of the cycle, captivity. I mean, in the garden, all we knew was God. But now we've given ourselves to everything imaginable. We've allowed ourselves to be captured by a fruit on a tree. I mean, how much more ridiculous does it get, really? And then we've got repentance. All throughout the Bible, there's stories of repentance. You know, everybody's saying, look, we're sorry we screwed up. God, please come and save us, which brings us to God raising a judge. And if you look at that, I mean, you hear Jesus being like called a judge in the Bible. It's, but we always think of it like, you know, Judge Judy, like God is going to judge you, Jesus is going to judge you. But here's the way we're looking at it now. If you look at Jesus as a judge in terms of the way that the judges were judges, you'll find that Jesus became the ultimate judge. I mean, he conquered the enemy, even military victory against hell, right? He has the keys to hell, and anyone who finds themselves in Jesus, they have rest. It's awesome. I mean, you see this cycle going throughout the Bible. The problem is there's one more step in the cycle that basically goes like this. Repeat. That's right. You've heard it, like whatever it is, something, something, repeat. Well, here's basically our cycle summed up. Sin, rinse, repeat. That's what you got going on here. Sadly, this is that extra step in the cycle. I mean, the book of Judges alone, over 17 chapters, has this cycle going through it. That's not to say that happens 17 times, but that it takes place over 17 chapters. Usually by the time a judge died, there'd be a new generation. In this case, that new generation didn't know God in the same way, you know, because technically the God of pillar and fire, or the God who's a pillar of fire, a pillar of smoke who's made himself visible, that God, they haven't seen him do that. They've heard the stories. You and I are the same way. We're a continuation of that story from the Old Testament, you know, but we don't know God in that way, and we tend to not think of him that way. Instead, we say he hasn't made himself visible to us, and we don't really trust the stories of our ancestors in that sense. So by the time our generation comes around, if we haven't seen the stories ourselves, we tend not to listen. If the generation before us hasn't seen stories, well, then all we've really got to go off of is stories that we read about. And we just need to take those in more appreciation, more joy, because those are what we can look to at times. So, new generation doesn't know God in the same way. And in Israel's case, their chief sin, they'd always go back and worship false idols again. How many times do you and I do that in one cycle, though, you know, or in one lifetime? We go through a cycle more than once on a lot of different occasions, so something we can look up to. But here's the thing, the repeat part to this, in the Old Testament, it's known more or less as a generational curse. I mean, in the Old Testament, when you had a problem and your kids struggle with that same problem and their kids struggle with that same problem, it's typically known as a generational curse. So that's what's going on with this whole thing. And God, you know, Jesus, he's the one who came to break curses, put an end to it once and for all. So all the time we're thinking, yeah, struggles are part of life. We're going to have to go through them. True. But sin, you know, that is not a cycle that we should be cycling through. We can put an end to that. We may stumble, and here's the great thing about God. His love never fails. Even when we screw up, he's still there. He still pulls us through. But he came to bring an end to this cycle, to cancel out the repeat. And that's something to be excited about. In conclusion, one more thing. Frank Bartleman, he had a lot to do with the revival that happened called Azusa Street. Maybe you don't know anything about it. Maybe you've heard of it, or maybe you haven't heard about it at all. But it was a great revival. And during that time, he said he got this word that the depth of revival will be determined exactly by the depth of the spirit of repentance. And we see that in our cycle, right? I mean, revival is something that points us back to Jesus, something that pulls us out of a cycle, because when we're captured by Jesus, when we're totally captivated by him, we become captured by the only thing that really matters, and that's great. So that's what we need to hope and pray for. And in this case, when we have a spirit of repentance on us, the depth of our revival, the depth of our life that comes from that will be greater, finally breaking off this generational curse of repeating our sins over and over again. So there's just some thoughts. My fingers are going to fall off, so I'm going to go inside, and you have a wonderful day.